The Gospel of Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. This scripture was read in for your entirety this morning. And it coming from, once again, the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, starting at verse 13 all the way down. And I think for the sake of time, we'll stop at verse 19. But for your hearing, would you please stand if you have your Bibles? If you can stand, please stand. And we'll read verses 18 is a verse that my argument is centered around this morning. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We will use for a theme this morning the ecclesia, the called out of God. The called out of God. You may be seated. The people that God has called out. Everybody has a calling. The general call goes out to everyone. But I'm talking about the effectual call. Those that has answered God's calling is who we're talking to this morning. You know, people attend and support the institutions that give them their joy and hope. There are so many people that support the institutions in this world that gives them their joy and their hope. I watch the gamblers as they go to the riverboat. That's what gives them their joy and their hope. I watch the crackheads as they go to the dope house. I remember when my brother was on crack and my mother went looking for him, and he was at the crack house and he saw my mother out there. He climbed out the back window and kept on going because he did not want to be found at that time. But he has about 15 years clean time now. But I just want you to know that the crack house is supported by the ones who come to get the crack. When we look at people getting season tickets, now this is the thing that gets me. They get season tickets for the Bears, for the Blackhawks, for the Bulls, for the White Sox, for the Cubs, and they are sold out, all the season tickets. They don't care if they win or lose. They're going because they got the season tickets. Hallelujah. I heard the other day that Lollapalooza, I know all of you got your tickets. One day, they sold out $300 per ticket. To go downtown in Grant Park and stand up down there, rain, shine, sneeze, or snow, and hear probably some of the craziest music you ever heard in your life. My kids go, $300. Per ticket. And I met the train when my daughter came back from now and there. The train was so full of mud and students all of them got off the train. It was something to see. But every now and then, we hear something that shake the foundations of hell. Cheyenne McDonald wrote an article the other day, and she talked about how many people are using their cell phones to call up Siri. And I want you all to know that they pick up the phone. I would call her now, but I ain't got time. But I did call her to ask her this question. People call up Siri and say, I am depressed. Can you help me? Siri say, depressed? Let me see what they got on the web. She say, Siri, I'm having a marital problem. Can you instruct me? She say, marital problem? Wait a minute. I don't have anything on the web for that, but you get my point. Let me just break something down to you. The people that put these telephones together, They are not people that can assemble things that can deal with your relational problems. Are y'all out there? That Siri has no answer for your misery. Come on now. She has no answer for your depression. Or she could look up on the web and tell you how many places you could go that got the word depressed in it. That's really about all the psychologists and psychiatrists can do, because I counsel a few of them. I just want you to know that, you know, but so many people, you know, Cheyenne McDonald said, it's amazing how many people are so disconnected in this life that they have nowhere to go with their misery other than to Siri. Ain't that amazing? It's a sad world that we living in when people are so disjointed. Help me, Lord. Today I will teach that the church is the pillars and the grounds of the truth. The church is the only place where you can come with your misery. The church is the pillars and the grounds of the truth. God ordained the church to carry out his love. If you comes to God church and don't care and don't find love, that's an indictment on the church. Now, I know you say the people on my job don't love me. They're not supposed to love you. They're there to make widgets and widgets only. But it's the church that's ordained to deal with your problems and your misery. I don't know if Siri goes to church. I've never seen her here. You know, I'm not condemning her or him or whoever it is, but I'm just talking about me now. And I tried to call her up to get some relational issues solved, but she couldn't help me. She said, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. So we come up now to look at our lesson outline this morning. In our scripture that I read, our first point is the word on the street, verses 13 through verse 16. Now, my next point is the first mention of the word church, the ecclesia. My third point is the authority of the church, and that's verse 19. In our lesson text, to set the historical context of our lesson text this morning, Jesus is about to teach his disciples a lesson, and Jesus is a master teacher. Jesus carries them into Caesarea Philippi, a pagan city, a city that's made up of Gentiles, a city where there's idol gods, statues of them all around, a city that Herod built and named it after Philip, a city. But he also named it Caesarea Philippi so it wouldn't be confused with the other coastal city of Caesarea. So he goes here. Jesus takes his disciples up to this pagan city. And I don't know where he went. Maybe he went out to the park. I don't know. But maybe he was downtown. I don't know. But wherever he was, the historians say, in the backdrop, in the background of where they were, they could turn around and they could see idol gods and statues of idol gods everywhere. But also at this particular time in antiquity, there was not one person that believed that Jesus is the Messiah. There's not one person that had that in their belief system. So now we come up to our lesson text. And that 13th verse says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. Jesus said, now listen, I brought you here into this pagan city. We didn't come here to party like the pagans. I brought you here for one reason and one reason only. I want to know, who do men say that I am? In other words, what is the word on the street? I know some of you all say, I don't care about what people say about me. That's a big lie. We all care about what people say about us, and sometimes it can hurt us. But Jesus said, I just want my disciples, I just want to hear it from you. Who are they saying that I am? No one in antiquity believes that I'm the Messiah, but I brought you here. You've been with me for a long time now. You've seen me give sight to the blind. You've seen me turn water to wine. You've seen me feed 5,000 people. You've seen me stop the lady with the son on the way to the grave and touch the bibber, and he gets up and go back home to his mother. You've seen me on Jericho Road when blind Bartimaeus had never seen. You've seen me call blind Master Bales to get his sight. You've seen all of this. You felt the power of God when you went into that hospital. You know you had a low score, but you still got the house. You know you didn't study for the test, but you passed the course. Oh, come on now. Now we need to talk for a minute. Who do you say he is? So then they start answering it. And some say, thou art John the Baptist. Well, you know, Herod had already said, and he was nervous because, you know, John the Baptist had already told him that he had his brother's wife. So Herod cut his head off, but Herod kept on, is John the Baptist going to come back? When he heard about Jesus, he said, that's John, he's returned, oh my God. Some say he's John the Baptist. Some say he's Elisha. Elisha was the last prophet that was mentioned in Malachi in the Old Testament. And then they said Elisha would come before the day of the Lord. Elisha, they say, oh, that must be Elijah. And some say he must be Jeremiah. Matthew is the only one in the Synoptic Gospels mentioned about Jeremiah. Some say he's Jeremiah, that he's going to be the forerunner. Jesus listened to all of this. I understand what the word is on the street, Jesus said. But you've been with me. You've seen me. It's bad when the people close to you don't understand you. Am I right about it? Jesus said, now you've been with me. I'm going to have to leave the church in your hand. It's going to be very, very important that you understand who I am, because that's what you're going to have to preach, and that's what you're going to have to teach, and the world is going to come at you, and the world is going to kill you if you have to understand. It's bad to send a Christian out and they don't understand who God is. That's what Jesus is saying. But Jesus, in that 15th verse, he said, but who do you say? But Jesus said unto them, but whom saith ye that I am? Jesus, I heard what they said. I heard what the word is on the street. But I want to bring this thing back home now real quick. But who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? My Lord. And then Simon Peter, the spokesman for the group. And then Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus had no throne. Jesus had not ascended into heaven. Jesus was there with them in Caesarea Philippi. But in Simon Peter got up and said, thou art the Christ. That's the title. Thou art the anointed one. Now pay attention. He didn't say you are Jesus. That's Mary's baby. He didn't say that you are Jesus the Christ. That's the human side of Jesus with the divine side of Christ. He didn't say thou art Christ, the divine side with the human side, Christ Jesus. He didn't say that at all. He said thou art the Christ, the risen Lord. He hadn't been to the cross. He hadn't died yet, but he said thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter made that confession. And then when Peter made that confession, and that's when Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, by Jonah, giving him his background, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. He said, flesh and blood. I know your background. I know you, John's son. I know your background. I know who you are, but I want you to understand there is nothing in your background that's going to help you to reveal this to you. This had to be revealed to you by my Father, Not your father, but my father. He said, this had to be revealed to you by my father, which is in heaven. He said, revelation is what you need. This is not information. I can stand up here and give you all kind of information, but you're going to need a revelation to believe that Jesus is a Christ and God raised him from the dead, and you need to make him your Lord and your Savior. Hallelujah. So, and so Peter said, you know, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the risen Lord. I know this. And then that's when Jesus said in verse 18, my key verse. And Jesus said, also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I heard what you said. But I heard you say that. But Jesus said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, Petros, that is a stone, a small rock. That is the masculine form of the Greek. That is the small rock. That thou art Peter, a stone. But he said, but upon the rock, the Petra, P-E-T-R-A, upon the Petra, the mass stone, the rock that the foundation is built upon. You are Peter. You are a stone, but I'm going to build my church upon the master rock, the bedrock, which is Christ himself. You are a stone, but your confession is going to make this thing be built on the rock. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I will be in my church. Everybody that comes into my church, that's why I don't understand how these folks got hung up on the infant baptism. He said, but upon the rock, you heard him do the confession this morning. Upon the rock, everybody that comes into my church has to believe that Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead. There's nobody that's going to be in my church that don't have the belief system. Upon that rock, that confession, That stone, but upon that stone, I'm going to build it on the bedrock. The bedrock is what I'm talking about. But Peter is a stone, but this confession is going to be built on the bedrock. You can't build nothing unless it's built on the bedrock. Every now and then I go downtown and I have to look up at the Willis Tower, Sears Tower, whatever its name is now. But it has a sway system of about 6 inches. But it took them a whole year to build that building because they had to go all the way down into the ground to the bedrock. Men was killed trying to put that building, but they dug it so deep. It's a bedrock. That's why when the wind blow, that building ain't going nowhere because it's on the bedrock. Talking about the bedrock. See, he said, upon that bedrock, upon Christ, the tree that's planted by the rivers of the water. You've seen the shrubbery out there when there's no rain to turn brown. But you see that tree that's planted by the rivers of the water that's got the deep roots. It sways and it goes, but you look up. I look up and see my shrubbery's brown, but that tree, the vegetation is still green because it's got deep roots. Goes into the ground. And that's the rock that I'm going to build my church. That everybody, that every person that's in my church ought to know. And then he says, everybody that's in my church ought to know. He said, the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God. The church, the pillars and the grounds of the truth. The church, the most brilliant idea of anything that we could ever have. He said, the church is the only place in human history that the church is the only institution. The church is the only organism, rather. The church is the only place in this world where people can come and lives will change. Only the church. I don't care how messed up you've been. You can come into the church and you can be changed from a sinner to a saint. I don't know. I don't care what they called you out in the world, but the church is the only place that can change people's lives. Or I know you've gone to psychologists and psychiatrists. They can identify your problem, but they have nothing to attach it to that would help you make a change in your life. I know that's right. He said the only place you can come is the church. The church, the ecclesia of God, the only place where you can come and overcome your trials and your tribulations. The church. The church is the only place you can come and say, Pastor, I have cancer. Would you pray for my healing? Pastor, I have a financial problem. You can pray yourself, but a lot of people come to the church to pray. He said, whatever it is, the Bible say they brought all the sick to Jesus and they say he healed them all. The Bible say there's no wealth other than the wealth that God gives you. He said part of your salvation is divine health in the church. The only place you can come is the church. The church is the only institution where you can get that done. The church is the only place. And we had it in our Sunday school lesson. When folks' lives fall apart and they're still, the Bible is the only place where you can be confident in your grief. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, don't you worry. I'm going to a place for you and a body. You don't have to worry about all this stuff that's in the world because I am the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father except he cometh by me. Jesus said, I got a prepared place for you. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about a physical death. You don't have to worry about the second death. Jesus said, I have prepared a place for you. You don't have to worry. Get this right now. You don't have to worry because God can change your life from a sinner to a saint. You don't have to worry about anything in the trials or tribulations because he's an overcomer. You don't have to worry about where you're going to be when you die because God has prepared a place for you. Also, we can come to the church and do something that we cannot do no place else. You cannot do it alone. You can come to the church. You can worship. You can do ministry. You can do evangelism. You can do discipleship. And you can do fellowship. But you don't have to do it by yourself because you got the ecclesia. You got the called out of God. All of the people that God has called out to do ministry with you. This can only be done at the church. But you know, there's a sad commentary in the world about the church. And let me just pause for a minute. Because when we got ready to buy this building, oh, I was so elated. I went over to my bank and I say, you know, I got all our numbers together, all our budget. I want to talk to you about purchasing a building, a church. He said, a church? He said, now, we do your banking, but now let me explain to you. We, as a bank, we don't loan money for people to buy churches. I say, well, why is that? He say, because we don't know how the members gonna keep on giving. I say, well, what if I came in here with a business plan and I wanted to open up a hot dog stand? He say, well, we can talk about that because, see, people gonna always eat hot dogs. But I can't loan you any money for the church. I say the church is the most valuable institution in society. He say, I understand that. I go to church, but I can't loan you no money for the church. I say, well, he say, the only way your church can be supported is by the members. And the Bible say the only way to support the church is through tithes and offerings. People who have waistline parties and chicken dinners keep the people from giving in the church. But now I just want to ask you this question. Can God's church, come on now, you got to look in the mirror, that's what the Bible is. Can God's church be supported off of what you give? I'm not meddling, I'm just preaching. I'm just a postman. I'm just delivering the mail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The bank won't loan us anything. It can only be supported by the church. I call up the Baptist Foundation, and they say, yeah, we'll do a bond issue for you. You know, because we got 1,000 churches in Illinois, and we can sell bonds to 1,000 churches. And if you sell enough bonds that'll support what you need to purchase your church, then we'll loan you that money. I say, we got to raise all that money? He say, yeah. He say, here's a list of 1,000 churches, Southern Baptist churches in the state of Illinois. I went to my office. I closed my door. I called up them people in Southern Illinois. They say, yeah, Pastor Shannon, we met you at the meeting. What you need? One guy put in $200,000. $10,000 off of one phone call into our bond thing in 20 days. They say they can do it in 30 days, but it was done in 20 days. Doug Maher called me and said, Dr. Shannon, I want you to tell you, I've never seen a bond thing get raised this quick. In 20 days, you have raised enough money to buy the church. Hallelujah. I just want you to know, but it's the church. The church, the pillars and the grounds of the truth. But we can't come here and tip God. Come on now. We don't get no support from nobody but his members. So we got to come here and give our time and our talent and our treasure to carry out God's ecclesia. God has called us out of the world to support our church. God has given us a good location for a church. 3.7 acres of land and 15,000 square foot of building on one of the best intersections in the heart of one of the richest counties in the country, DuPage County. Oh, you ought to be shouting right now. You ought to be shouting right now for what God has done and what God continues to do. But it breaks my heart when we walk around here and you have God's tithes in your pocket and refuse to turn them over to his ecclesia. Oh, I'm preaching now. Me and my wife scratching our head about how we going to pay this and how we going to pay that. Because you won't give. Y'all ready? And God say, listen. But I tell you what I'm going to do, church. I tell you what I'm going to do to the church. In verse 19, he said, I want you to understand that the church is the pillars and the grounds of the truth. And based on that, and then based on that stone, Peter, based on the rock, Jesus, he said, what I'm going to do based on that, he said, and I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to know, Shannon, that I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, and you can bind and loose. And that's what I want you to understand. In your bylaws, in your constitution, you can take folks in the church, and you got the right to let folks out the church. You can give them the right hand of fellowship, but also you got to have some discipline problems, some discipline issues, because I want you to know the things that you bind down here on earth, hallelujah, will be bound in heaven, and the things that you loose down here will be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you the authority to go out and bring folks in, but you can't bring them in, Shannon, if they won't come under the authority of the church, if they won't come under the authority of the church. Matthew 18 says, treat them as if they were heathen, because they won't come under the authority of the church, because I'm giving the church the ability to bind and loose. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. God's church, the pillars and the grounds of the truth. God say, when you're in my hand, nobody can pluck you out. When I was in Fort Knox, Kentucky, that's where they keep all the gold. But don't go down there thinking you're gonna get any gold. I just want you to know you can visit the mint down there. I just want you to know in Fort Knox, Kentucky, they keep all the gold under the earth in a big deep vault under the earth. And they around that big thing that they keep it in, they have steel buildings made out of steel. If you've ever seen it, it's made out of steel. And then after these steel buildings come, they have all of these big fences that go around this thing. They got these big fences, you know, and then after they have this big old fence, and then they got barbed wire. And then after they got the barbed wire fence, they got all of these soldiers with all these big old guns. I say, man, look how they guarding Fort Knox, and ain't got nothing but a lot of gold. But I just want you to know that God say you in his hands. And if Satan never tried to come to you, he's got to knock God off his throne. He's got to silence Jesus. He's got to slay all the angels. I just want you to know Satan cannot get to you once you come into God's family. Hallelujah. He's a way maker. Out of no way. God wants you to know that greater is God that's in you that is in the world. He said, I've called my ecclesia. I've called my church. My church is the only place that's going to show you love and going to show you understanding. I've called out people to come into God's church and be Christians and live a life of Christians. And he said, if there is a church, according to James Cone, if there is a church that does not liberate the oppressed, it is not a Christian church. That's why we have a day site for the homeless. That's why we have a food pantry. That's why we don't do so many things for people who are underserved, disenfranchised, because that's what God has called us to do. If there's any church that don't liberate oppressed people, that's why we go down and preach at Pacific God Mission. That's why we serve people. That's why we serve lost humanity. God is saying, if you're in my church, but I want you to understand, just like Peter, Peter was a stone, but I want you to understand, Peter had some problems. He was not dependable. He had a bad temper. Peter was tore up from the floor up. The last time Jesus saw him, when he was on the way to the cross, Peter was cursing like a sailor. But God said, when I got up out that grave, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee, because I got something to give you in Galilee. I'm going to give you the Great Commission in Galilee. Meet me. I don't care what you've done. Meet me in Galilee. That's People's Community Church. Meet me. Meet me in Galilee. Hallelujah. God is calling you this morning. The ecclesia. Come and be a part of God's ecclesia. Come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know they was coming.